Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome in. It's Steen on Sports. I'm bringing your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on, I got to start doing this. I got called to the carpet to check us out on X. Go to at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook is 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. Podcasts are up, so you can download them wherever you download your podcasts. What we have going on this week on The Champ, and every day has something going on, except for Wednesday. Monday tonight is Twins Guardians. Tomorrow night is Twins Guardians. Huge games. I have that right here in my hands. The Minnesota Twins still hold a 6-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians. They get a couple of wins here. You're starting to get close to double digits. That's a good thing to have with exactly. We are at 131. There are 31 games left. So we have that on Tuesday. Thursday, we get a college football game, a huge college football game, Florida at Utah. Love it. Friday, Twins and Rangers. Saturday, you and I, Panther football pregame at noon, and we will join the Minnesota Twins and the Texas Rangers in progress after the UNI game. And then Sunday, it's the Texas Rangers as well. And then next Monday, Tuesday, the Twins are in Tampa Bay. It's a good time to be going down to Florida after the hurricane that is looking to make landfall tomorrow and Wednesday. So scary stuff. Keep those folks in your prayers and keep an eye out on all that. We always want to thank our sponsors, Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Broadlands Medical Center. And we will talk more about them as the day goes along. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Just a little family note. We have been remodeling our house on the east side that my youngest son lives in. And we are pretty much on the downhill. We have floors coming in. I'm going to give them a shout out today. It's Flooring America. Flooring America is going to be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to put new floors in our kitchen, our living room, our dining room, and our basement. So we are very excited about that. So we have that going on. Always exciting. So, where to start for the weekend? My goodness, there was talk about some sports stuff going on. Some of the biggest news right now, you are getting down to cut days in the NFL, and I think they have to be cut down. It's either by Thursday or Friday. You're seeing some teams making some moves. You're seeing the strange one today. Maggie and Pearl talked about it a little bit today. The Arizona Cardinals today let go of their only quarterback that actually has a win on his resume, and that's Colt McCoy. And it is Kyler is going on the PUP list. He's not even available for the first four games. It is a weird situation in Arizona. Arizona has a couple of big time draft picks next year. There's quarterbacks out there to be had. So some interesting stuff going on right now. Their starting quarterback is going to either be Joshua Dobbs, who they just traded for 4 days ago. So it's not like he's been way up there getting some reps in the last couple days. And Clayton Toon, a fifth-round draft pick. I heard a bunch of people today, and one of the many gripes of the NFL is sometimes they tank. Well, here's the problem with all that, and it's the problem that's been with the NFL from from the get-go. The NFL are run by owners. That's why you had an owner that had done horrible things with the Washington Commanders. But the rest of the league, for quite some time, in owners, the rest of the owners of the league, never wanted to band together to do anything about it, because he always threatened that he would out other owners, and they didn't want anything to do with it. But they finally had no choice, and so maybe they called his bluff. But he has enough to worry about. But I thought when Daniel Snyder was there that you couldn't get any worse. And the Bidwell family is a very, very, very close second on destroying football teams and just scratching your head on some of the things that they've done in the past. And, you know, the NFL says that it is against tanking for draft picks. Well, if you're against tanking for draft picks, then I'd start taking up an investigation on what the Arizona Cardinals are doing. I can't say some of the stuff that when one of my buddies at work and I were talking about it, but there should be outrage out there. There should be, you know, and again today, I'm driving back to the office today, and I'm listening to a sports station rip Kyler Murray. He doesn't study enough. He's just staying on the injured reserve because he just wants his money, blah, 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 blah. And that feeds right into my partner in crime sitting across from me on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, Scott, because he's not a Kyler Murray fan. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not telling you that I'm a Kyler Murray fan, but you have there's 32 teams in the NFL, and 12 of them have quarterbacks that are somewhat elite. And when Kyler Murray's healthy, he's one of those. And I think that the majority of things that have gone wrong in the quarterback rooms in Arizona has everything to do with ownership, not just their players and not just their coaching staffs. It is from top to bottom one of the worst run organizations in sports. And it has been for years. And the only thing that brought them out of that was a couple of years. One, Kurt Warner coming and having an amazing year. And two, Kyler Murray having a couple of years. And that's it. They haven't had great coaching. They finally get Coach Gannon to come there. One of two Philadelphia Eagles coordinators. And this is what they're doing to him. Everybody, if you listen to sports talk show radio, everybody telling Coach Gannon, do not go there. And I think Jonathan Gannon said, you know what? I can overcome this. No, you can't. I don't think you can overcome an organization that is run as poorly as Arizona is. So that was I can't even think. Colt McCoy, he was set to earn $3.75 million this year. $2.25 million they had to pay him the day they cut him. They had to write him a check. The other would have been towards the end of the season. I don't know what to do. If I'm the NFL, if I'm Roger Goodell, I have to do something. I at least have to comment on what's going on. I mean, you're cutting a player who's not making that much money, because on that rare occasion, he has the ability to win you football games. He was a asset. You didn't even think about trading him. You just cut him because you didn't want to pay him all of his money. I'm flabbergasted, and it's irritating. And I don't know how you I don't know how you fix that. The second big one, and it was all weekend, was the uproar over Trey Lance and the San Francisco 49ers. And here's my thought process on the San Francisco 49ers. After their couple of their Super Bowl runs, they did have some down years, but with Coach Shanahan, you had Coach Harbaugh. They've always turned things around. And the amount of talent on San Francisco 49ers football team gives them the ability, not that I'm giving them a pass on making a mistake like that, and I love that the rest of the NFL and the rest of the people that report on the NFL have like, well, that's the greatest mistake of all time. And then I actually heard people asking them today or pulling up things that were saying, well, do we think that he was the number three pick? Well, probably not, but he was definitely a top 15 pick if you needed a quarterback. Well, between 3 and 15 is a lot different than how in the world could San Francisco make that big of a mistake? And I don't listen. The fact that they missed on Trey Lance and they traded away a couple of high draft picks and drafted him high is being forgiven because of what they hit with the last pick of the draft, and that's Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy didn't exist and Brock Purdy didn't have the year that he had last year, Trey Lance would still be a San Francisco 49er. And it's still, Sam Darnold might be starting, but at least he would have had more opportunity. But when he got hurt and they didn't have the ability to play him and Brock Purdy came in, and this is the story that I heard over and over and over and over again today, no matter what station, no matter what show, well, what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. They were spoon feeding with the tiniest spoon that you could ever imagine the offense to Trey Lance. He didn't have a lot of experience. He didn't play a lot of football. Is the arm talent there? Yes. Is the running ability there? Yes. Is the overall ability there? Yes. Is game time and decision making there? No. Well, why not if you drafted him number three? Potential. And the reason that he didn't have those starts was COVID. It's a mistake. It's a mistake that probably 70% of the NFL could not make and survive. Guess one of the 30%? It's the San Francisco 49ers that hit on everything. So they miss on the number three pick that they gave up two first-round picks for, one of Arizona being one. And what happened? They hit on Brock Purdy. They make a run. Almost make it to the Super Bowl. Have that same talent coming back and more. And on the second year, even after surgery, with Brock Purdy having, I mean, it's the same thing. If you listen to the tea, and I can't say, if you see the tea leaves, look at the tea leaves. Listen to what the tea leaves are saying. Even so far in preseason and all that, no matter what they throw at Brock Purdy, he knows what he's supposed to do. No matter all the different things they do to him in practice, he knows what he's supposed to do. The only person that has tore up the San Francisco 49er first team defense, Brock Purdy. Not a lot of other teams do that. So, I mean, that's been the one. The secondary part of that is, well, why in the world did the Dallas Cowboys bring in Trey Lance? I think deep down inside, they think Trey Lance is a younger Dak Prescott. Not a lot of reps. Need to groom. It's not, and I apologize, T. It's not like Dak Prescott's knocking doors down saying, I'm going to be the next superstar quarterback in the league. I have my first fantasy football draft tonight. It's the family one. Jen and the boys and my brother-in-law and his kid. I mean, we're going to have fun. It's a fun league. You have to be able to overlook and you have to – the funnest thing to do in any sporting event, any – actually, everything. It's easier to criticize than it is to say something nice. And you hear murmuring that there were some San Francisco 49ers that were sad about that because Trey Lance was there and a part of the team. I didn't see them feeling bad when Brock Purdy beat him out. I mean, football's football. It is so different than, I mean, I watched some high school football on Friday. It was awesome to have high school football back. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. I watched a little college football this weekend. Caleb Williams looked really good. USC looked really good. They played somebody that was really bad. I saw a couple of high school football teams that might have played better. Notre Dame. That game playing in Dublin, that's a Notre Dame can't take anything from that. You know what they can take? Their offense got opened up because they have Sam Hartman there, because he's a way better quarterback than what they've had. Don't feel sorry for the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers are going to be just fine. They're not going to have an issue. They're not going to have a hard time winning football games. If they can keep Brock Purdy healthy. And I think they have a better backup quarterback in Sam Darnold, who likes to run that offense. I think they're in a really good spot. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Plenty more. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. Beautiful day out there today. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Minnesota Twins baseball tonight and Tuesday, right after the show. They'll go right into pregame. Thursday is Florida at Utah, one of the biggest college football games of the year, and it's on the first Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Twins are playing the Rangers, and Monday, Tuesday, the Twins are playing the Rays. Tonight and tomorrow night, they have the Guardians. That's either going down to, it's going to stay at 6, go down to 4, or go to 8. One of those things is going to happen this weekend. UNI Panther football, they play the Iowa State Cyclones. Pre-game is at noon, and that Rangers-Twins game is 5:30 pre-game. It'll be joined in progress depending on how the football game is going on. The first segment today is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank, commitment that you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, and insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking. Whenever your phone is in your hand, go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from a vehicle loan to a mortgage. It all starts there. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insight, or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait to open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment that you can bank on. Member FDIC. So I was trying to remember, and I wanted to do this. So Shane Steichen is in Indianapolis. He was the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon. It's going to be, there's a really, really good chance it's going to be a long year for both of them. And you're going to have to see what happens. That's the thing. You leave a Super Bowl team, a runner-up in the Super Bowl from last year, and you go to places that aren't run the same as what you are. We wonder. Someone said this today, that an average over the last 5 years, 7 new NFL head coaches come in to new jobs every year. And folks, if you look at the teams that have made the playoffs, it's usually none of them. And the difference between one to the other goes from ownership. It even goes further than that. Ownership, stadium, and what type of stadium, and what type of what type of things are in the stadium, on making money so you can do more, all the amenities that are there. It goes to head coaching, to assistant coaching, draft rooms, everything. And there's certain teams in this league for the last 10 years have been doing it over and over and over again. And you know the really funny thing? Is the only thing that some of these not very well-run organizations think is they can just grab a guy from a team that's doing it right and come to a team that's not doing it right, and they're going to be able to change everything, the culture, the system, everything. Can't do it if you don't have owner support. And if you are a team that hasn't had a winning season in a while, it's not about very much except for the owner. Period. I mean, that's the start of everything, is who is the owner? Who is the ownership group? How are they running the team? Did they buy the football team to make money and to be like a shiny little toy? Or did they buy the team because they want to make it into something and they're bringing people in that are going to let the individuals who run the program run the program? And you're going to see who wins and who loses. It's that, I mean, to seriously, to bring that down to everything, it's that simple. And it's not that you can't have an owner that's vastly involved. You can. You just have to have a owner that's vastly involved that understands that he's not the smartest guy in the room. Even though he has the most money in the room, normally when it comes to something outside their expertise, they are not an expert in the room. Man, can money make you think you are? And that's the difference. The Hunt family, they believe in Andy Reid. They believe in their general manager. They believe in all of that. And they let them run. They let them run the team. Do they get to give them, hey, you need to run this stuff by me? Well, yeah, they have a lot of money invested. But if you, as an owner, aren't comfortable bringing someone in to run your football team or accounting firm or gas station or grocery store, if you don't trust them to do it, you're not going to have a successful business. And when you look at the NFL, it is plain as day. When you're looking at teams over the past, and just look at Buffalo, extremely well-run organization. The New York Jets, it is not. And they are trying to enhance that, and they're trying to do everything they can. The Miami Dolphins, I think they are on the cusp. The New England Patriots have been doing it for years. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been, it's, you know, all of this. And this is really an interesting thing, because I said the same thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers win a lot of football games because of Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin will turn around and tell you he wins a lot of football games because his football ownership and management group understand him and give him the power to do his job. The Cleveland Browns, no. The Cincinnati Bengals are just right now overcoming 30 years of horrible ownership. The Jacksonville Jaguars, he learned that it's not a shiny toy. He's got a lot of money. He learned he had to bring somebody in that knew how to run a football team, and he's done that in his general manager and his coach, and he also got lucky and he has Trevor Lawrence. The Tennessee Titans have been a beacon. The Tennessee Titans' biggest issue now is they don't know how to get from being the number eight seed all the time. The Indianapolis Colts have been up and down, you know, and they had some stuff happen. Listen, Andrew Luck, if he wouldn't have got hurt, was going to be Peyton Manning reincarnated. But he got hurt, and he went to Stanford. And he's smart enough to know that I'm not going to be able to do anything if I can't use my neck and my brain. The Kansas City Chiefs are run well. The LA Chargers are not. The Las Vegas Raiders are not. The Denver Broncos are one that are moving up in the world, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they continue to succeed. They did the same thing. I've got to have a football guy in here that I can trust to run the football program. The Washington Commanders have a lot of work to do. They may be the worst of the worst, and I think they're headed in the right direction. I know the group that they're with think they're headed in the right direction and are going to give individuals the chance to do that. The Dallas Cowboys, no matter what you think of Jerry Jones, not a lot of losing seasons out there. I mean, they're just not. And I don't know. You can't deny what he's done. The Philadelphia Eagles, you can already tell. The ownership, the general manager, the coaching staff, everybody's in sync. The Green Bay Packers, very tough because they don't have an ownership group. It's not easy to do what they do. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the only time everything turned around for them is when they had Tom Brady. The Atlanta Falcons have struggled. I don't think it's their ownership. I just think that they've made some poor decisions. So I think that's more organizational than it is ownership. Carolina Panthers, they are the same as the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has a lot of money, and now he's learning now that he has to put trust in the football operation and not himself. Arizona Cardinals, look at the first 5 minutes of this segment. They are a train wreck. The Seattle Seahawks are steady because of that. San Francisco 49ers are steady. There are teams that if they'd have just drafted the number 3 pick and cut him 3 years into him playing, they would be devastated for the next 10 years. The San Francisco 49ers weren't devastated for 10 minutes. And last but not least, the Los Angeles Rams, don't deny what that ownership group is doing. The football product on the field, you know, it's had its ups and downs. But as an organization, that place makes a ton of money. A ton of money. They are not hurting, and don't they not only make their own money on off days they're not there, they make Los Angeles Charger money. I mean, that's a really good ownership group. They hired the wrong coach. You got the right quarterback, you got the wrong coach. And that's almost a $1 trillion organization, the NFL. And over half the teams that I just talked about are never going to go anywhere because just because you're rich and you can own a team doesn't mean you're going to win. That's the great thing about sports. It does matter what happens on the field, but it matters what happens behind the curtains as well. And that's the exciting thing about sports, and it's an exciting thing about football. And it's tougher for football because of numbers. The easiest, an NBA basketball team, if you have the right ownership and you have the right person in charge of cap, that's the other thing. You have to have a capologist. Then you're going to win basketball games because you only need 3 or 4 players and then some role players. But you can't make mistakes with their money, and that's what NBA people do. Hockey, tough, just because of the talent pool. The talent pool is now... if you look back when I started watching Mark Messier, Rangers, Red Wings, when it was Avalanche, all that, I mean that is a sport that suffers from not having enough talent pool. Now hockey from 1970 to now, the talent pool is 5 times as big, but the talent pool is still 1/10 of what other sports have. Major League Baseball, once again, you have 9 players. You have to have a pitching staff. You have AAA and AA and Single-A. It's a whole process. But it's not as hard as having what you have in football. When you have a 52-man roster with a practice squad and you have to divvy up what you're doing, and when someone gets hurt, I mean, it's a constant thing. And if you don't have an ownership group that's behind you, you can't succeed. If the Washington Commanders come out this year and play, and, you know, get 9 wins, get 10 wins, and you're a Washington Commander fan, and could be a Washington Redskin fan, boy, is that gaining momentum. you're kicking yourself on what happened in the last 10 years with Daniel Snyder. And you're thinking to yourself, how in the world did we get bamboozled into this? And I don't know what to tell you, because here's the one thing that I never thought I'd hear myself say out loud. I think it all the time. There is no way in the world that 31 other billionaires are going to let a billionaire control the NFL with his inefficiencies. And they did for the last 10 years. He's been in court for 10 years. They know what happened. What's that telling you? I mean, you have to have, I think the number is 65%. You have to have 65% of ownership to be able to take someone out of the equation. And they could never get there. And if you listen to everybody, he didn't have a friend in the room. But they were scared of what he would say. That's not a great way to run your organizations and run a multi-trillion dollar league down the drain. It is it's fascinating what happened. And it's going to be real interesting this year, because there's so many storylines. And as much as I want to say about management and coaching, it does get down to the most important thing. If you don't have a quarterback, and when I say a quarterback that you believe in your heart of hearts can lead you to a Super Bowl, you can't win a Super Bowl. And I think that takes out 65% of the league. And then you throw in another 20% that are hanging on by dear life with, you know, maybe a halfway decent quarterback with a great defense and enough firepower, and you're in a weak division. It's probably even bigger than that, but that's a big number, folks, with billionaires running an organization and over 65% of them have no shot at getting to the promised land of getting to the playoffs or getting to the Super Bowl either. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I'll be back right after this break. Welcome back in. Last segment on this Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. X. Check us out on X at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Minnesota Twins baseball against the Guardians. Huge two-game series. Going to be listening tonight to see what happens. You and I, Panther football. Coming up this weekend, they're playing the Cyclones. Cannot wait. J.W. Cox coming in tomorrow at 4:21. Be ready for that as well. This segment is going to be brought to you by Broadlawns Medical Center. We are extremely happy to start teaming up with Broadlawns and talk about all the amazing things that they have going on. If it's new clinics or new programs or all those things, we're slowly working and getting our hands around some of the things that we want to talk about. So it'll become a bigger thing here in the next few weeks, but it's just something I want to brag about them. I want to talk about them. I've always been at my house, it's been 20, let's see, seven, and it's been almost 30 years. And my next door neighbor, a fantastic lady, worked at Broadlands, and I've always been excited and enthusiastic about all the things that are going on, and respected all the things that she did there, and really looking forward to being a part of having them be a part of our radio show. A little potpourri, because it is the last segment of each hour. A big win. El Segundo won the Little League World Series, fifth in a row for the United States. A dream come true. A walk-off home run to win the game. That is, there is nothing like that. I didn't listen and I didn't pay that much attention, but I couldn't wait for it to be on X today. And that was the intro of, who we got here? Richard Sherman, Michael Irvin, and Keyshawn Johnson. Man, what a show with, oh my goodness. It was crazy. Nobody could get a word in. If he thought that Shannon Sharp, that he just couldn't compete with Shannon Sharp, I don't know. I almost feel sorry for Skip. Ski up. Skip Bayless. He didn't get a word in today, except for when he introduced all of them. It was amazing, everything that was happening on that show. Here is a really interesting thing today. Jim Harbaugh has said this. A couple of other coaches have said this. A vast majority of athletic directors have stated some things. Revenue sharing. Should NCAA athletics have a system of revenue sharing with student athletes? And I think this is why it is becoming more prevalent as an opinion, is because I think what some of the things that I've said about the NCAA, I think, are starting to hit home with a lot bigger segment of people in the country, that the NCAA has no idea in the world. I don't, number one, I don't know if they know how much. I guarantee they do, because they're pocketing it, but how much money that they make off of these student athletes. And I can't take it anymore. I can't take, I always say, you know, it's a different generation. A different generation is saying, hey, look, they get room and board. Okay, that was well and good in the 60s and 70s when room and board was not as much, but head coaches weren't getting paid $17 million. Universities weren't making $100 million. This is 2023 leading into 2024. You have teams that are going to make $75 million on TV contracts. On the low end, if you take out the Pac-12 and the ACC, on the low end is almost $40 million per team in the Big 12. I don't think the NCAA is hurting. I really don't. I mean, if you seriously think that you can sit here and tell me that a 120-man roster or whatever, just a round number, 120 roster for football and then smaller as you get into other sports, can't share in some of the wealth of universities that are – now, I get it that not all universities are making money. If you're not making money, you're doing something wrong. We happen to live in a state where things work really well. Our organizations, our teams do a great job of what they do. But they could always do better. And they always could do better in helping out those that are helping them. We, as much as I love Wendy Winterstein, and I love Jamie Pollard. I'll use my team that I root for. I do not go to athletic events and to see them. I go to see the student athletes. They have to be compensated better. They have to be insured better. They have to be taken care of better. They have to do all those. This is a one of the big things that is coming in, and this came today. Chris Williams posted this today, and it came from Circa. Circa has released a prop for Iowa football. Everybody's been waiting for this. They've, no matter what you think of, if you're a Hawkeye fan, if you're not a Hawkeye fan, everybody has an opinion on the 25 points per game. Well, they just put up something that'll make it a lot more fun. You are minus 160 for over 25. You're plus 140 for under 25. So my thought process on this is sign up for Circa and put your money where your mouth is. Don't just go on social media and say they're going to score more points than that. Don't just go on social media and say there are no way are they going to average 25 points a game. Put your money where your mouth is, and let's see what happens. I will post my bet when I get it done. I am in. And people may be surprised about what I put down as a wager. This one has been sent to me 35 times today, so I'm finally going to answer it. If you had to watch it over and over and over and over again, would you watch Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore? I love Caddyshack. I just don't think I could watch it over and over and over again. I can watch Happy. Every time Happy Gilmore's on and I pass through, every Adam Sandler movie, no matter how stupid, every time it's on, I watch. He just, his type of comedic, whatever you want to call it, I like him more as a person when I get to see him in interviews and how he, the type of father, the type of husband, the type of friend, all that. And he gets to do it by being a ding dong all the time when he's acting. I am a huge, huge fan. Also wanted to give a shout out. I talked the other day about ESPN and some of their new radio people. And one of the radio guys that was on that I like to listen to is Jason Fitz. I thought he was great. He just got into that thing where he was making too much money. He landed on his feet. He's at Yahoo Sports. He is at Jason Fitz. It's FITZ. If you want to listen to somebody who's got a pretty good aspect and thought process on sports and life in general and all the different things. He's a musician. He's been in a group. He loves sports. Give him a listen. ESPN's going to miss him. That's one that, I don't know. I think that one was a mistake. And this is one for you all to think about, and we'll talk about this in the last segment. You get to pick two of these in your life. $10,000 cash immediately, two free rent mortgage for 6 months, a perfect credit score, unlimited airline tickets for life, a brand new home, but you can never sell it or never move, free groceries for 5 years, a brand new luxury car you can never sell and never own another car, unlimited free medical care. I will give you my pick. I will post it as well, and we'll see. We'll see what everybody thinks. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. We're going to dive into a little baseball. Look ahead to the college football season coming up, the full start on Saturday. Maybe a couple NFL things next. Happy Monday, everybody. Second hour of this Monday. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. Wow. You can check us out on X at Steenon Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website's 1700thechamp.com. Minnesota Twins and Guardians tonight and tomorrow night. Huge games. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes here. UNI Panther football this weekend against Iowa State. Florida, Utah, a great college. I told you, you're going to hear a lot of football on this radio station, and we'll make sure you know when it's coming. But Florida at Utah, huge game. Let's see, what else do I have? I have a read to do. I will do heritage building maintenance, providing peace of mind and protecting the future of your building and your occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as a certified partner of science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in the science-proven program can rest assured they are receiving the state-of-the-art surface protection, making their building environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about Heritage Building Maintenance and science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance. Okay, because I don't know how much Scott wants to talk about golf, so I'm going to talk a little bit about golf this weekend. Victor Hovland. Wow. Wow. Xander Schauffele shot a 61 and couldn't gain strokes. He gained one stroke because Victor Hovland shot a 62. It is in the last 2 weeks, the ball striking by Victor Hovland was crazy. Here's a really funny thing. If you take away the starting point, so when they get to the final tournament, when you drop down to 30, the PGA to make it more interesting gave everybody a starting number under par or par. Number 27, 28, 29, and 30 were even par. Scotty Scheffler was number one. I think he was 12. I think Victor Hovland was third, so he was 10. If you take that away, I think Xander Schauffele was 8 under started. If you take away those items, they both shot 19 under on the golf course for this weekend. That's incredible. That's a tough golf course. There were more people plus than minus on a few rounds that weekend. But here's the biggest deal of that last tournament. You had one more chance to have Zach Johnson pick you for the Ryder Cup. I think the Ryder Cup is in 2 weeks. Here is the United States team as it stands right now. And the top six automatically qualify. That is Scottie Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, and Xander Schauffele. And here's where it gets interesting. Because here's he gets six captain's choices. He can choose Brooks Koepka. He can choose Jordan Spieth. He can choose Cameron Young. He can choose Colin Morikawa. He can choose Keegan Bradley. He can choose Sam Burns. He can choose Ricky Fowler. He can choose Denny McCarthy. He can choose Justin Thomas. He can choose Lucas Glover. That's kind of his choices. So I was going to write down my six. And a couple of these, three of these are easy for me. And the three are Brooks Koepka. And here's the reason why. The international team is going to be amazing. They're all playing well. They all run around together. They all do things together. It's going to be a tough group. I take Brooks because of what he can do matched up with somebody one-on-one. I take Jordan Spieth because of the exact same thing. And even though he didn't have a great finish to his year, when it's a Ryder Cup, I take Justin Thomas. It's the same reason that if Tiger Woods played three tournaments during the year, and they needed to pick someone to lead their Ryder group team, that's who they'd pick. And between those three guys, those are three guys, because when you look at the people that I just mentioned, the six, not a ton of experience there. And then it gets difficult, because then I'm not sure, because I'm I'm a big Cameron Young fan. I think he has a game that he can do, doesn't have a lot of experience. I think Colin Morikawa is going to make it just because of the way he played the last couple of weeks. And I like the way he plays too. And I like that he likes to play. Keegan Bradley, I'm just not sure. I'm not ready to do that one yet. So I've got, I'm up to 10 and you have 12. So I got to pick two more. Sam Burns, love him, love watching him play, not ready to play in the Ryder Cup. Ricky Fowler is more closer to Cameron Young, so I would put him up there, so he's one of the ones left. Next up is Denny McCarthy, just not his time. Justin Thomas is there. I already have Justin in because you have to have him. That's just Lucas Glover. I don't think he fits. I think I would take Ricky Fowler and I would take Keegan Bradley. So you have the original six. And that original six again is, sorry, I got to get through my screen here. What horrible radio, Gary. I apologize. Scotty Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Xander Schauffele, and I'm going with, so I have six more. So I'm going with Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, and Keegan Bradley, just an edge over Cameron Young. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, and he's going to pick them tomorrow so we can talk a little bit about this. It's going to be very difficult to, not that we can't, but it's going to be very difficult to beat the European team. It's different for them. It's what they do. It's what they love to do. And it's not the same with some of us. And it's definitely not the same without, Tiger Woods there. I love the fact that Zach Johnson gets to be a captain. It is well earned. And it's going to be fun to watch because the Ryder Cup besides the majors, I think it's the next best thing to watch. So very, very excited about that. Sorry to bring everybody down with some golf talk, but I enjoy my golf talk. Some of the breaking news today, Cardinals, Kyler Murray is going to stay on the PUP list. That means he can't play until week five. They cut Colt McCoy, their only starting quarterback they have on their roster that has a win in the NFL. It's not a good thing for them, and I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. Matthew Stafford's wife said that he's struggling to gel with young Rams. I mean, that's someone like Matthew Stafford is gonna have a difficult time with individuals who don't get on the same page as quickly as some people, he would not be easy to be your quarterback because he demands an awful lot. Michigan offensive coordinator, OC Moore was suspended for the season opener. He was one of the coaches that was with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is doing three games on his own, trying to avoid a NCAA, and who knows what's going to go on with the NCAA. I myself said this. I would tell them to go pound sand and say, you guys get your stuff straight. You do what you need to do. I don't think you have the power to do this. And if you suspend me or you make us give up wins that we get, then we're going to sue and we're going to see how much power you have. I don't think they'll do it. And that's a horrible way to talking about an organization that we should be trusting for taking care of our student athletes. I don't think they do a good job of it. I think that they did a great job of it 30 years ago when it was cut and dry and everything was there. Now, they not only do they not know how to control their own money that they have coming in, but they don't want to share any of it. It's unthinkable for me to try to go through and give reasonings behind why I would back the NCAA. I did want to talk a little bit about some baseball over the weekend, and it was, you know, it was one of those weekends where the cream starts coming to the top, right? And it starts on a Friday, and you had some marquee games out there this weekend. Friday night, you had the Tigers. The Tigers beat the Cubs. The Cubs are doing everything that they can do to stay in this race. The Tigers are, they were 27-34 at home. And they couldn't get by that. Philadelphia is playing really well. That helped this weekend. The Baltimore Orioles had a pretty good weekend. They lost on Friday night, but they won a couple of games. The Yankees are, what can I say about the Yankees? I can't say anything about the Yankees. It's my team, and I can't say anything. The Guardians beat the Dodgers Friday night. Luckily, that was the game that the Guardians picked up, and then the Twins came back and won a couple of games. It's going to be very interesting heading towards the end of the year when you're looking at some of these teams. And for in the American League, in the East, the top two teams are the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays. At least Tampa Bay has been there before. I'm really, really curious to see how this young team, the Baltimore Orioles, are going to react to the type of pressure that's going to be coming their way. And it's one thing. I mean, my thought process is it's not going to bother them because they don't know. They have no idea. They have no idea what it's like to have 81 wins. They are 32 games above 500. They have no idea. I think they're going to be fine. And Tampa Bay, I think they're going to be fine as well. The Minnesota Twins and the Guardians, like I said, they are 131, and they're both 131. So they both have 31 games left. You got to make up 6 games. That's not easy to do, unless the team that is above you goes on a ginormous losing streak. The one that's interesting is the West in the American League. Seattle, Texas, Houston are all within a game of each other. That's the one that's going to be fighting out. The Braves are up 12.5 on the Phillies. And the Phillies are playing really well. I think the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. The Milwaukee Brewers are up 4 over Chicago. That's going to be the interesting one, right? Is can Chicago make the playoffs? I don't know if they can catch the Brewers. Can they make the playoffs? The Dodgers are up 12. The Diamondbacks are 69-62. The Cubs are 69-61. And the Marlins are 66-65. Two of those teams are going to make it. One of them's not. It's going to be very, very close on who that is. Here's some things I can tell you is not going to happen. The Boston Red Sox aren't going to make the playoffs. Huge payroll. New York Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs. Huge payroll. The Chicago White Sox are not going to make the playoffs. That's a pretty big payroll. The Houston Astros and the Los Angeles Angels aren't going to make... Well, the Houston Astros still have a shot. The Angels, aren't making the playoffs. The St. Louis Cardinals are not making 17 and a half games out. Run differential of minus 75 on another three-game losing streak. San Francisco Giants probably are the big, and the Padres. The Padres aren't making the playoffs. That's probably the biggest payroll in baseball, and they are 61 and 70. They are 20 games out of the lead in the West with the LA Dodgers. So if you're wondering where baseball's at, and if people are happy with baseball, I think this is the you want your favorite team to win in baseball. And then if you can't, you hate the teams that spend 100 times more amount of money than you. So you dislike the Yankees, and you dislike the Red Sox, and you dislike the Angels, and you dislike, you know, the Dodgers and the Braves, and the teams that actually, you know, they're out to win games, not to worry about payroll. And I think baseball is at a all-time high in gaining viewership and gaining fans, and they're really doing it without, I'm going to say, without a healthy superstar. I love Mookie Betts. My son loves Mookie Betts. I don't know how many people could pick Mookie Betts out of a crowd. Shohei Ohtani? Yep. Aaron Judge? Yep. I think that's the cool thing about Mookie Betts. I believe he's the best baseball player in baseball. Because Shohei Ohtani can't pitch right now. If not, Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. You are listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. College football next. Home, you are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on X at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Minnesota Twins Guardians tonight, right after the show, 6 o'clock pregame, both tonight and tomorrow night. Huge games. 6-game lead for the Minnesota Twins. You are at home. You need to finish this. Get it up to 8. That is what we are looking for. I also, as soon as I can get my computer to do what it is supposed to be doing, which it is not doing at the present time here, and I don't know why. I forgot my mouse today, which is a total bummer. So I'm going to hit that right there. I might be froze, so I'll just keep going. This segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, and card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Located in Ankeny, Iowa, go to woodmancontrols.com and look for all the information to a outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company, Woodman Controls. Thank you very much for Woodman Controls. I was up looking at the controls today, so it was a very good day today. Okay. This is irritating me that my, there we go. Okay, so I had a couple of different ways I could go here. I wanted to talk a little bit about college football. I have some potpourri. I'm gonna hold off on college football tomorrow because Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott are gonna be on here tomorrow. I saw this article this weekend, and I wanted to go through and talk a little bit about it. It's something that I feel very, it's a big story It's about the NCAA and college sports and all of that. And Jay Billis wrote a really good article for ESPN, and I just wanted to just hit a couple of points on here because it really got to me today when I was reading through this, and I agree with a lot of things that he said. It said the NCAA and its member schools talk a great game, but of course they're all hypocrites, all of them. They wax poetically about values and principles, but over the past three decades, college presidents and administrators have proven beyond a reasonable doubt that college sports isn't about athletic welfare, education, or avocation. They have proven consistently over time it's about money. College sports is now a multi-billion dollar entertainment industry that the NCAA requires its athletes to be enrolled in school, and that the NCAA repeatedly violates federal antitrust laws by colluding to limit the compensation to athletes. Otherwise, it's entirely the same. When comparing principles and values related to money and revenue, consider Augusta National Golf Club, which annually hosts the Masters Golf Tournament. AGNC, if it chose to do so, could make far more money off the Masters, which they do not. Instead of having wall-to-wall commercials, Augusta National accepts less money to have nearly commercial-free broadcast. Instead of having heavy signage from advertising partners, Augusta National accepts less money to have a clean-looking golf course. Free of rampant commercialization, present at nearly every other major sporting event, instead charging exorbitant prices for its famed pimento cheese sandwiches and other concessions. Augusta National chooses to charge less for a better patron experience. Similarly, Augusta National could charge far more for merchandise with Masters logos on them, but yet chooses to charge less even when patrons would pay the higher price. When it comes to revenue, that is the sticking point to principles and values look alike. The NCAA and its member schools wouldn't know because their student-athlete principles and values are further down the list than the clear number one priority, which is to maximize revenue. Nobody is forcing college presidents to sell media rights to the highest bidder. They can manage this just like Augusta National. They just don't want to. Why? Because the NCAA members are not working together. They are marketing competitors against each other. They compete for media right dollars, athletic talent, and administrative talent, just to name a few, in a multi-billion dollar industry, and they talk out of both sides of their mouths while running this industry. Here's an example. From time to time, I will be broadcasting a game that's scheduled to start at 9:30 p.m. on a weeknight. Depending upon the game televised in front, there could be a slide in the starting game, perhaps by as much as 10 minutes. Quite often, a college administrator will vent to me that it is ridiculous that the company makes these kids play at such a late hour and fans won't get home until way after midnight. Jay Billis says, I usually let them vent, but sometimes I'll explain to them that they can play their games whenever they want. They can schedule every game on Saturday and Sunday at noon, or play only on Fridays and Saturdays. When they play is entirely up to them. The issue they seem to struggle with is media companies will pay more to have their games televised in the later window. Like Augusta National, the NCAA members can stick to their principles and values and schedule games at times they prefer. Instead, they take the money and the increased exposure and sell the rights to determine the starting time of the game to a media company. In short, those decisions are made for money, plain and simple. There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing wrong is doing it and pretending like you're not doing it. That is hypocritical. The NCAA members talk a good game about competitive balance, but they really don't care about that as well. They care about winning the biggest share of a still growing piece of pie of money. If they truly cared about competitive balance, they would revenue share. They would provide the stability that they claim to want, but they don't revenue share. They never will. They each want the money for themselves, and now and into the future above all. Judging from frenzied text messages and phone calls I received from Power 5 administrators, coaches, and observers, when news hit that Oregon and Washington, the latest phony apocalypse was upon us, it didn't make sense to come to some, came out of nowhere to others, and signaled that college sport had lost its way. There was a sense of shock, as if college sports was hit with a 100-year flood. It was not. This isn't a new phenomenon. It's been going on for over 30 years. No reasonable person truly believed it was going to stop. Consider this. I played in the ACC when it consisted of 8 teams. He played in the NCAA when I was going to the NCAA. Jay Billis and I are pretty close in age. We rode on a bus to 5 or 7 ACC road games. Our longest flight was from Durham to Maryland. While the ACC was 8 teams, so was the Big 8. The Big East had 9. The Pac-8 just expanded to the Pac-10 by adding Arizona and Arizona State. And the Big 10, gasp, only had 10 teams. What a quaint and seemingly ancient time. Current administrators have the gall to express surprise over Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah leaving the Pac-12. The clear message is another hypocritical one. Changing conference is only a problem when somebody else does it. When we do it, it is for damn good reason. Stability, getting more exposure for our athletes, blah, blah, blah. See hypocrisy and lack of self-awareness. Coaches and administrators have been complaining to anyone that will listen about NIL and the transfer portal. Well, the transfer portal for schools changing conferences has been open forever and has been churning like gangbusters over 30 years. And nobody should be surprised when the NCAA steps in front of Congress begging for an antitrust exemption or a federal law that limits athletic compensation, because judging from the frenzied text messages and phone calls I receive from Power 5 administrators, coaches, and observers when news hit that Oregon and Washington, the latest, were getting ready to jump to a new conference, it has lost its way. It is an incredible thing, folks, and he hit that right out of the park, that it's easy to cry wolf when other people are actually understanding and learning what some of the things that the NCAA are doing and is going on. And it's not just the NCAA. And as much as I stand here and I give Brett Yormark and I knock down some others about what they're doing, they're all doing the same thing. They're trying to make the biggest buck and the biggest bang that they can get for their athletic programs. Coaches don't get left out. It was always, and this is my grand. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. She said that to me 100 times a week. I had no idea in the world what it meant. But I do. And it's that simple. And it's the only thing that I've ever said about all the things that are going on. NIL, transfer portal, all of that. Here's what somebody asked me the other day. Well, what could be one thing that you could do that you would make it so it would be harder for coaches to do whatever you think they're doing? And I said, every time you're with a recruit, you record it. Or every time you're seen with a recruit, somebody's videoing it. And make sure everything's above board. Make sure you're not offering stuff. Every time a institution wants to be able to talk to a coach that's currently employed, set up rules. Tell them they are currently employed and under contract at a university, and they can't talk about it. You want an assistant coach? Go grab an assistant coach. See if you can make them into a great coach. I'm fine with that. But until you do that, if a coach leaves, and it is not directly just the coach. If a coach leaves or an assistant coach leaves that had anything to do whatsoever with the recruitment of a particular athlete, the particular athlete should have the chance and the right to transfer if that person leaves and goes somewhere else. These people come into your home and sell you a product. and you accept the product. But the problem is they don't quit selling the product. They're getting ready to replace the product every year. And heaven forbid that you, as a product, maybe as a freshman, didn't perform up to expectations. My issue is if you do that in a place of business, then you try to help get production up, get to hit the numbers you thought you were going to get. And then if you can't, then you need to sit down and you need to refocus and try to find a way to make it better. My biggest concern, and it's more for football because of numbers. It's a numbers game in football. And year after year after year, they're bringing in 4 new running backs, 5 new wide receivers, 3 new quarterbacks. And it's just, it gets to a point where you can't blame everybody that they're not happy because of playing time. And playing time is not guaranteed, and playing time is not a given, and I'm fine with that. If you over-recruit, that's your own problem because it's going to catch up with you. I don't have an issue with that. My issue is my son or daughter is recruited to your school, and whoever the recruiter was, if he leaves, my son or daughter should have the ability to leave as well. If the head coach leaves, everybody on the roster should be able to make a decision on what they want to do. I don't even want an even playing field. It's never going to happen. I want a fair playing field. And the other thing that I want to happen, it's not some of these athletes' fault that somebody somewhere thinks they're more valuable than what athlete C is. I just want athlete C to be able to make some money off of whatever sport they're in money that their team makes. If you can go outside on your own, above board, this is where I come in with influencer or whoever else, coming through a registered place where you have to answer questions and has to be in the up and up, you should be able to do what you want to do. It's just a really tough thing, and it's not going to get any better, and it's not getting any better any soon. We got one segment left on this Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. One last segment. Be right back. Monday, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. Last segment on this Monday. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on X at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Twins Guardians, Monday night, Tuesday night. Huge games. Huge, huge, huge games. Looking for some love for our Minnesota Twins. Let's see here. Got a couple of things left. I have fantasy football draft tonight at 8 o'clock. My first one with the fam. Then I have a work one coming up as well. They had today, a few sports writers were going over, the Big Ten and with the Iowa Hawkeyes and who was going to play, where they were going to place in the division. Dennis Dodd, Tom Fornelli, Chip Patterson, Barrett Salih, and Shaheen Jahara. Two had Iowa winning, 3 had Wisconsin, the one that had one of the ones that had Iowa winning had Illinois second, Wisconsin third, and Minnesota. Minnesota was picked towards the bottom. The crazy thing is, I mean, Wisconsin was pretty consistent. They were second, first. They were second, third, first, first, first. Iowa was pretty consistent. They were first, first, second, last, and third, which is fourth. That sounds bad to say last. Didn't mean to say last. There is no way that the Iowa Hawkeyes are going to be last. And that's good. That's the game, folks. I mean, there's a couple of games on here. I'm curious to see how Nebraska is going to be. I'm curious to see how Purdue is going to be in the Minnesota game. But, I mean, the Wisconsin game and the Penn State game are two huge games for the Iowa Hawkeyes this year. I don't think anybody can say anything but that. I thought this one more golf thing today. Scottie Scheffler finished the 2022-2023 PGA Tour season with an adjusted scoring average of 68.63. It's the seventh best of all time. 1 through 6, Tiger Woods, 1999, 2000, 2002, 2003, 2007, 2009. That's how crazy that guy was. I did tell you today that if you have Circa Sports, you can bet on the over-under on 25 points per game. You are getting -160 for over 25 and +140 for 25 and below. That is an interesting thing that they actually got done. That's actually pretty cool. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about we've talked a little bit about the Hawkeyes, we've talked a little bit about the Cyclones. We'll talk more about them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, along with the Panthers. J.W. Cox coming on tomorrow at 4:21 on Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. So Scott and I will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I am off on Friday and Monday because of the holiday. And then we'll be back at it again on Tuesday. We'll have Tuesday, Wednesday to talk about that first week of college football. And the first NFL game is on Thursday night, and NFL all the way. Man, we got fantasy football to talk about. We have betting to talk about. We have so much going on now. We've got like 2 days this week, 3 days this week of really trying to fill, and then we're ready to go. The first thing that I did today, and I think the first thing that 90% of us did that saw Iowa State's depth chart is, holy cow, we are young. Young. You have a redshirt freshman, Rocco Breck, and a true freshman, J.J. Cole. Our running back room, it's a very talented running back room, but you have sophomore, freshman. Tight end, you have a senior and two freshmen. And you're talking tight ends here. You're talking 6'6", 265, 6'5", 260, and 6'7", 240. Fullback is a junior and a sophomore. Wide receiver room, Jalen Noel is a junior. Adams is a freshman. Jaden Higgins, Daniel Jackson are both juniors. And Benny Ngoye is a 6'4", 195 freshman. Z wide receiver, a junior, Aiden Bitter, and Dimitri Stanley is a senior. On the offensive line, left tackle, two sophomores, 6'6", 330, 6'7", 300, James Neal, Tyler Merrow. Left guard, 325, 320, both seniors, Jared Hufford and Daryl Simmons Jr. At center, Jim Boniface, a 310-pound sophomore, or Brady Peterson, a 6'5", 310 junior. At right guard, Grant Treber, 6'6", 325, or Dalen Hassert is 6'4", 315-pound freshman. And at right tackle, Tyler Murray, 6'9", 335, a junior. And I am not going to pronounce his name, but he's 6'5", 335, sophomore. It's Olafunta Agishilo. I don't even know if that's close, but It was, I gave it a college try. That's some, here's what I'm thinking about seeing that offensive line. It's not an offensive line that's 295, 300, 310, 315. I like it. Special teams, you punter is a sophomore and a freshman. Long snapper is a freshman and a junior. Drake Knobloch, Dominic Cisneros. And let's see, punter. Holder is Tyler Perkins. He is a sophomore. And then we go on defense. We got Joey Peterson, and he is 6'4", 255. J.R. Singleton is 6'2", 300. Dominique Orange is 6'4", 335. And Tyler O'Neum is 6'4", 295. Linebacker Jerry Vaughn, seniors, 5'11", 235. Middle linebacker Jack Sadwalski is 6'2", 245. Another linebacker, Carson Willage, is 6'1", 225, freshman. And then Bo Freiler, 6'2", 220. Mike Verdon is 6'4", 225. Free safety is Jeremiah Cooper, 185, 6 foot sophomore. Corners are Miles Purchase, a junior, 5'11". And the other corner is TJ Tampa, another senior, 6'2", 200. And they're backed up by freshmen. Special teams place kicker Chase Contreras is 6'1", 195 senior. Keegan Shackelford, 5'10", sophomore. Punt return is Jalen Noel and Dimitri Stanley. And kick return is Miles Purchase and Jalen Noel. There you go. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There are 18 individuals that have had 5 starts. So here's my thought process. We're going to be patient. We're going to have fun. We're going to love our Cyclones. And I think they're going to surprise people. I really do. They had a lot of stuff going on, and it looks like they've been busting their hinies. So I can't wait to get out there on Saturday, cheer them on, have some fun, and see where we go. And listen, having the UNI Panthers be your first game out is not an easy team to go up against. Not even remotely close. It's going to be a season. And maybe how we act and we watch the games and how we cheer and do everything makes these young kids better and better and better, quicker. And I think that's what we have to do. I'm excited. I can tell you, I don't know if I've ever been more excited than I am right now. And I'm looking forward to it. They're going to be playing in front of a sold out crowd every home game. You have new teams coming in. You get to go to new places. Next year's even bigger and better. I mean, it's falling together. And not that people, because they don't, not that people need to get on the bandwagon, because most of us are on there. But when I just read off that, and I read off the ages of this group of kids, I think this coaching staff, with everybody that's involved, it's going to be a great time and a great year, and I can't wait. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Scott and I will be in here tomorrow. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We got a ton to talk about. Can't wait. I thank everybody for listening. Couldn't do it without you. Love having you. See you tomorrow.